Okay, here we go. Sefer Melachim Beis, Perek Chavdala, the second to last perek here in Melachim Beis, the second to last perek in all of Nevi'im Rishonim. And this is the beginning of the end of the Beis HaMikdash, the first Beis HaMikdash, which was built with such glory and pomp and circumstance in the days of Shlomo. David set the stage, and Shlomo, in the beginning of Sefer Melachim, at the end here of Melachim Beis, it is coming to an end based on the terrible sins of generations of kings and Jews. Malchei Yisrael have already been finished. Now we're up to Malchei Yehuda, and we pick up in the years of Yehoyakim. The days of Yehoyakim, the end of the previous perek had said, we're in Perek Chavdala. The end of the previous perek had said that he did evil in the eyes of Hashem. We'll get to some details. And during his day, Nebuchadnezzar came up, and Yehoyakim was an Eved. The Mefarshim explained that really he had taken him as a vassal, and then a servant, and then he sent him back, and eventually he rebels against Nebuchadnezzar, and Nebuchadnezzar sends many of the neighboring nations, the Kazdim, Aram, and Moab, to attack Yehuda. They do, and this is due. The Navi again continues because of all the generations of sins and murder and other problems that have been caused in the eyes of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Yehoyakim, the Navi says, dies. We'll see, he did not just die al mitaso, he died in being tortured, and his son takes over Yehoyachin. Yehoyachin is only king for 3 months. He also does ra in the eyes of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and during that time, Nebuchadnezzar comes and starts besieging the city. Yehoyachin comes out with his family, and he tries to make peace. He tries to come out and thinking that maybe everything will be okay if he just surrenders. But Nebuchadnezzar didn't trust him. He took his entire family and all of the Jews with any authority, and the Cheresh and the Masger. This is called the Golas Cheresh and Masger, which took place before, right? This was the second stage. The first stage, Malchei Yisrael, all of the northern kingdom was already in Bavel. Now, the second stage, the Cheresh and the Masger, and the big discussion what year this was, the Radak, all the Mefarshim, the Rishonim trying to figure it out, but either way, he takes all the greatest leaders, and he just leaves a few of the Amei Haaretz, the Dalas Amei Haaretz, he leaves in Yerushalayim, and he takes all of the great people who might be able to start a rebellion. And Nebuchadnezzar puts Matanya, the uncle of the present king that he takes with him, as king, and he renames him Tzidkiyahu. Tzidkiyahu, this was the last king of Yehuda, all the way until Mashiach comes. We're still waiting for the next king. Tzidkiyahu, Chazal say, was a righteous king, even though the Navi describes him as doing something bad here, but we will have to talk about that as we get into the commentary. Okay, so let's get into the beginning of the Perek, Perek Chavdalid, here in the end of Melachim Beis. Says the Navi, Biyamav ala Nebuchadnezzar melech Bavel. Nebuchadnezzar comes up. So first of all, who was Nebuchadnezzar? This is the first time we're seeing him. He comes onto the scene. So who was he? So there are various midrashim about who exactly he was. If you look in the Lemichsei Atik, was Rav Chaim Kanievsky on Navi, he quotes all the different midrashim. Some say Nebuchadnezzar was the son of Chiram, the king of Tsur. And some say he was the son of Nimrod. And some say that he was the son of Baladon ben Baladon. And some say he was the grandson of Sancheref. Some say he was the son-in-law of Sancheref. All different chazals that are quoted here. But either way, he was known for us as the king of Bavel, the one who destroyed the Beis HaMikdash. So what happens? Nebuchadnezzar comes. Vahilo Yehoyakim Evet Shaloshanim. He was a king for 3 years. Again, there's a confusion a little bit. The Radak here discusses there are psukim that have to be put together in Yirmiyahu and Yechezkel and Divrei Hayamim and Daniel and here to know exactly what happened between Nebuchadnezzar and Yehoyakim. The Radak here says that Nebuchadnezzar originally took him as a captive and then put him back and said, okay, you could be a vassal, you could be in control in Yerushalayim. And after 3 years, he rebelled against Nebuchadnezzar after being put back. Vayasha Vayimrod Ba, and he rebelled against him. Vayishalach Hashem Bo. So after that, Hashem, Nebuchadnezzar, was the Kli of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Beshlichus, sends the Gedudei Kasdim, Gedudei Aram, all these troops to be able to destroy Yehuda, destroy Yerushalayim, Vayishalche B'Yehuda La'avido, Kidvar Hashem, Shadibar, B'Yadavad of HaNaviyim, like the previous Neviyim had said, like we said, and Yeshayahu was killed already. He was killed in the days of Menashe, but who's left? Yirmiyahu and the other Neviyim that were discussed in the previous prakim. A tragic pasuk. This is Alpi Hashem to remove Yehuda from in front of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Bechatos Menashe kechol asher asa. Because of all the sins of Menashe they have continued to do. Vegam dam anaki asher shofach. And the murder. And as we know, the murder, the whole Yerushalayim was full of blood. Either that means, yes, literally, or Dafka Yishayo Hanavi. Out of all the sins that are singled out, it says we did all the sins, murder is the one that is singled out. The Rambam picks up on this in Ilchus Rotzeach, that out of all the sins, murder has a special place in HaKadosh Baruch Hu's scheme of things. He says this in two places. In Ilchus Rotzeach, Perek Aleph, Halacha, Dalid, says the Rambam, in the context of Goal Adam, Vein Lecha Davar Shekpita Torah Alav Kishvichas Damim, Shenemar Velo Sachnifu Esa Aretz, Ki Adam Uyachnif Esa Aretz. And even stronger, he says later on in Perek Dalet, where he's talking about Kippah, and you even if you don't have, you only have circumstantial evidence against someone, you lock him up. So the Mishnah says in Sanhedrin, you can lock him up. You only do this, says the Rambam, for a potential Rotzeach. Sha'af Alpi, Sheish Avonos Chamurim Mishvichas Damim. Even though there are sins, per se, that might be looked at as worse in a vacuum, right? Shvichas Damim doesn't get skila, Shabbos does. Ein bohen ashchasas yishuvo shel olam kishvichas Damim. Nothing destroys the world as much as murder. Afilu avodah zara, ve'ein tzorach lomar arayo, so chilul Shabbos, ein on kishvichas Damim. They're not like this. She'elu avonos hein me'avira she'ein adam lakadosh baruch hu. Aval shvichas damim me'aveiro shebeino levein chaveiro. V'chomi sheish biyado avon zeh, if somebody has the sin of murder, hara yehu rasha gomor, ve'ein kol ha-mitzvos she'asa kol yamav, shkulin k'neged avon zeh, nothing's going to outweigh it. V'lo yatzilu oso min adin, shenemar adam ashuk bedam nefesh. Right? We mentioned this, even in Machlokas Rishonim, whether a Kohen who murders does tshuva, can he duchin? He might even still be affected. And the rabbi continued, Seil deman me'achav, Oved avodah zara, shenemar bo rak lo eka achav, ukshenistra avonosa vizchuyosa lefnei alokei haruchos, when Achav's sins and merits came in front of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, tilted the scale, lo nimsa avon shechivu klia, lo isham davar acher, sheshakal kenegdo ela demei Navos, the murder of Navos for his kerem, as was advised by him, by his terrible wife, Izevel, but that is the Rambam, the uniqueness of murder. So here too, that's what's pointed out in terms of the Chorban, Damanaki Asher Shafach, Vayamali is Yushalayim Damanaki, Falaav Hashem Leslach. Hashem didn't want to forgive. And again, this is also the Gemara in Yuma, Daf Tesla Beis, which tells us what was the source for the reason for the destruction of Bayis Rishon, destruction of Bayis Sheni. So Bayis Rishon, big three. The third one is the one that's listed here. Gilia Rais Avodah Zara Shvichas Damim, says the Gemara. Mikdash Rishon B'Bnei Machara B'Bnei Gimel Advarim Shayubo. Avodah Zara Gilia Rais Shvichas Damim. And he quotes Psukim. Our Psukim, the Damnaki, Shavach Menashe, Arbe Miyod. Mikdash Sheni, Shayoskin B'Torah V'Mitzvos V'Gimilas Chasadim B'Bnei Macharav B'Bnei Shahaisabo Sinas Chinam. L'Lametcha Sheshkula Sinas Chinam K'neged Shalosh Averos Avodah Zara Gilia Rais Shvichas Damim. But the one that's singled out in our Perek is murder. Finishing up, Pasuk Hey, Voyaser Divra Yehoyakim, V'chol Asher Asa Aleihem Ksuvim Ad Zever Divra Hayamim. The rest of the words, what happened to Yehoyakim, is written elsewhere. Vayishkav Yehoyakim Imavosav, Yehoyakim dies. Rashi points out he did not die a normal death. He died after he rebelled against Nebuchadnezzar. He was taken back. And on the way back, he was being tortured. He was being rolled on copper thorns, and he died. He died, and his body was just thrown and strewn to the on the street. The Gemara in Sanhedrin depicts terrible averus that Yehoyakim did. Right? We don't have enough averus that are listed in the Gemara. The Gemara talks about Kuf Gimel Amud Beis that it was so bad. Sur Avodah Zarah, he got a tattoo on his Aver HaZachar of Avodah Zarah or of Shem Hashem, whichever one, and the Gemara is even bothered, why isn't he on the list of those who lost their Olam Haba? Right? Why isn't he on the list? So there is Yerushalmi that says that he did lose his Olam Haba, and the Rambam might hold that way, like Yerushalmi, not like the Bavli, which we'll see in a second. But the Rambam in Ilchus Shuvah, when he's listing in Perek Gimel Halacha Vav, the people who lose their Olam Haba, he lists off, Eilu She'elam Chedak Olam Haba, Nechrasin Va'ovdin V'nidonin Agodo Risham. They are judged on their wickedness, V'chatasam La'olam U'li'olme Olamim. Eternally, they are in fire, and they never get to Olam Haba. And he lists off, Minim, Apikarsim, and then he defines what each of these are. Kofrim b'Torah, Kofrim b'Tchias HaMesim, v'Kofrim b'Bias HaGoel, right, this is separate. If you deny Tchias HaMesim, if you deny this Mashiach, v'Mishumadim, u'machtia harabim, and then he quotes, v'Ha'osa Averos b'Yad Ramah b'Farhesya. If somebody does Averos in public with Yad Ramah, ki Yehoyakim. Only name that he quotes in this whole halacha. Just like Yehoyakim did. So is the Rambam saying, which is the Pashtus, that just like Yehoyakim did these and lost his Olam Haba, so too anyone? Or is the Rambam just saying, you do Averis like Yehoyakim, you would do. Yehoyakim personally did not lose his Olam Haba. Right, that's the discussion and the continuation of that Gemara. Sanhedrin Kuf Dalet Amar Aleph. Why did he not lose his Olam Haba? So the Gemara suggests because he was buried like a horse. He wasn't buried, meaning his body was just strewn on the street, and he never got buried. And even, the Gemara tells an unbelievable story, generations later, in the days of the Amoraim, hundreds and hundreds of years later, the grandfather of Rabbi Preda found a skull, Rabbi Preda of fame of 400 times. He found a skull that was sitting by the gates of Jerusalem. The Kasavban, it was written on the skull, Zos Va'od Acheres. It was written on the skull. The Gemara said previously, that's what was written on the skull of Yehoyakim, that you're going to have terrible things happen. Kavra, see, he found a skull, he buried the skull. Velo Ikbara, it popped back up. The ground didn't accept the skull. Kavra, Velo Ikbara. Omar, he says, Golgalto Sho Yehoyakim, it must be the skull of Yehoyakim. That's the Pasuk says in Yirmiyahu, Kfuras Chamor Yikaver. He'll have the kfur of a donkey, Schova Shlich, just thrown out. But says the grandfather of Rabbi Preda, but he was a king of Israel. What am I supposed to do? Omar Malku v'lo echshela zalzulei bei. He wrapped it in like a bag. Kachshav b'shirai v'os v'vizifta. He just put it in his house. He put it away. One time, Chazite de Bisu, his wife finds this skull wrapped up in a nice bag. Savra, he says, oh, this must be his previous girlfriend. Hod itza kamaisa have. Tolo kamachile. Right? Because he doesn't forget her. So he wants to... She says, what does she do? Shagra tanura. She lights a fire. She throws the skull into the fire, and it's totally burned to ashes. That was the end of Yehoyakim. But the Gemara says maybe because of that terrible demise, that is why he was at least zocha eventually to go into Olam Haba. The Be'er Moshe here, the Azar Rav, says that maybe the roots of all of his chataim, which the Gemara there starts off by saying that he said, you think the previous generations did bad? I'll show you what bad is. His root problem was taking away the goodness of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. He says, who needs the sun? Who needs the constellations? The whole mahus of HaKadosh Baruch Hu is to be a meitiv. Hu heitiv hu yeitiv lanu. And what did he do? He did the exact opposite. He tried to remove the goodness. And that's the hargaza hayoser nora'a, minias mataras habriya, and that is to prevent HaKadosh Baruch Hu from giving goodness to his creation. So either way, Yehoyakim was a terrible, evil individual, whether he had Olam Haba or not, is a discussion. But either way, let's continue. See, he dies, and his son Yehoyachin takes over, and v'lo hosev od melech Mitzrayim, by the way, added in is that Mitzrayim's out of the picture, because Bavel has conquered Mitzrayim, and now Bavel is in charge. Yehoyachin took over when he was 18 years old. He only ruled for 3 months, and he did a rab in Hashem. During his time, Allah, Avdei Nebuchadnezzar, it's a Kriya Nexiv, because first the Avadim came up, Alu, and eventually Nebuchadnezzar himself came up. Melech Bavel, Yerushalayim, Batavo Ha'ir Bamatzar. And the city came under siege, as we know. We will talk about the dates, all the different dates of Shavasa Batamuz and Tisha B'Av and all of the dates that happened in these two prakim, these last two prakim. It's Malachim, it's Yirmiyahu, it's Divrei Hayamim. The end of Divrei Hayamim discusses this story. But again, that's the gavos of learning Nevi'im Rishonim. We have the story set, and basically almost everything else in Tanakh, Yishayo, Yirmiyahu, it's all parallel time. Once Divrei Hayamim, once we have this time, until you get to Ksuvim of Ezra and Nehemiah, but it's all the parallel time of the Malachim and the Churban. So once we have the story down, then we'll be able to go into the other Nevi'im. So Vayavo Nebuchadnezzar Melech Bavel Alayir, he surrounds the Vavad of Sarmaleh, he surrounds the city, and Yehoyachin is in there. What does he do? He knows this all over. So Vayetze Yehoyachin Melech Yudal Melech Bavel, he goes out in peace, doesn't go out to fight. Hu, Ve'imo, Vavada, Visara, Visarisav, all of his servants, Va'ikach Otam Melech Bavel, the king of Bavel takes him, B'shnas Shmone L'Malcho. Va'yotzim Misham, and what does he do now? Here is the fulfillment of what Yishayahu HaNavi had told a couple of prakim ago. He takes out all the gold and all the silver and everything from the Beis HaMikdash. Right? They say that they use that gold to build all of the theaters and all of the Colosseums in Rome. He took it all. All the golden kalim he cut up. He took the gold. Vehigla es kol Yerushalayim. Vies kol asarim. Es kol gibori achayel. Pasuk yudalot. So this is the next gullus. We had previously the gullus of Yisrael. And now we have the gullus of Yehuda. Kol cheresh vahamazger. The carpenters and the artisans were sent out. Lo nisha zulas dalas ha'maaretz. What's so special about the carpenters and the artisans? So Chazal Darshin, Rashi quotes it, the Gemara in Gittin, Adaf Pechesam and Aleph. No, this is not just carpenters and artisans, but these really, on a Alderach Drush, this man, the greatest Talmid HaChamim of the time. Cheresh is a carpenter, but also Cheresh also can mean quiet and silent. When these people started talking in Torah, everybody else was silent. That's the Cheresh. And the Cheresh, Bishar Shaposchin Nasu Chakol Kecherishin. Masker, Kuben Shesogren, from the word Sagur. Once one of these rabbis gave a shiur and closed the issue, Shuvein HaPoschen, nobody else is opening it. Right, that's the Cheresh and the Masker here, as is discussed in Rashi quotes it, the Gemara. But the Gemara also says there, on Pechesam and Aleph, and there's also the Tanchuma in Parshas Noach, even though this was terrible, but this was still a little bit of Nechama. Not Nechama as much as Hashem setting the stage for the future. Yes, the Jews are going to be thrown out of Eretz Yisrael and out of Yerushalayim, but Hashem is setting the stage that Torah will still thrive. Hashem is setting it up, just like Yehuda was sent earlier to Goshen before Klal Yisrael went down. Just like during the second Beis HaMikdash, the Gemara in Gittin tells us that Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai was able to ask Vespasian to go and set up the Sanhedrin in Yavne, Tein Liyavne v'Chachameha, before the Churban, so the Torah would be able to survive. So here too, the Cheresh and the Masker was sent earlier so that when the Dalas Ha'am, when the rest of the Bnei Yisrael went, there would already be people there to teach them. Rashi says there, Pei Ches Amad Aleph and Gittin. Both Chachmi Torah went into Golos right here. Dechsibu Acheresh VaMasker Elef, as we are learning about here in the Navi, most of the people went and left. The Tanchum and Noach, the Afakadosh Baruch Hu Karas Brisim Yisrael Shlo Tishtach Torah Shebal Peh Mipiem Upipizaram. At Sov Kaladoras, HaKadosh Baruch Hu promises us that there's always going to be Torah. We don't have a Beis HaMikdash, but we'll always have Torah, and that's why, even though this is a terrible tragedy, all of the going into the Golos of all the great leaders, still we know HaKadosh Baruch Hu has the plan. Vayogalos Yehoyachin Bavela, he's taken to Bavel, Eim HaMelech, Neshe HaMelech, his whole family are led out to Bavel. There's Kol Anshei Achayel and all the army officers, 7,000, Cheresh Vamasker, 1,000, Hakol Giborim, Osi Melchama, they're all taken to Bavel. Vayamlech, and what happens now at the end of the parak? Vayamlech Melech Bavel is Matanya Dodo Tachtov. Yechanya's uncle, Matanya, takes over, and he changes his name to Tzidkiyahu. Why? As we mentioned earlier, the name change symbolizes that he's in control. You don't even have your own name. He's in control. But the Gemara in Hario says, Rashi quotes it, the name Tzidkiyahu is really a message. What is that? Rashi quotes, Ka yatztik alecha sadin im timrod bi. If you rebel against me, I am wiping you and everything out. I'm wiping out the Beis Hamikdash. I'm wiping out everything. That's Tzidkiyahu. You will be matztik, or Hashem will be matztik the din. I'm letting you live. That's the message, and obviously, as we'll see, that came true. That curse, based on what happened. Ben Esra v'achashan Tzidkiyahu b'malchot. Tzidkiyahu was 21. Tzidkiyahu, as we know, as we mentioned, was the last king. He was righteous. The Gemara says in Sanhedrin and Daf Kuf Dalet, were it not for his righteousness, Hashem would have destroyed the world. Unbelievable. Says the Gemara on Daf Kuf Gimel Amud Aleph, the previous Amud. Here the Gemara says, Ela bikech HaKadosh Baruch Hu l'hachzeres olam kulo l'tov avohu. B'shvil Yehoyakim, because of what Yehoyakim did, all the terrible things we just described. Nistakel b'doro v'niskara daito. Bikech HaKadosh Baruch Hu l'hachzeres olam kulo l'tov avohu b'shvil doro shel Tzidkiyahu. Nistakel b'Tzidkiyahu v'niskara daito. Tzidkiyahu himself. But Tzidkiyahu, the Gemara says, but 1 second. What does the end of our parak say? Vayas hara b'nei Hashem. Ask the Gemara. What do you mean, did Tzidkus? But Tzidkionamik Zivayasar Abayne Hashem says the Gemara, Shahaya Biyado Limchos Velomicha. He should have protested more what everybody was doing. Right? Even though the Gezerah was already done and everybody kind of knew that. They knew that from the Mesorah. But the Gemara still says he could have done more. Hayalo Limchos. That's one idea. There is another idea about what he did wrong. because it says that he was, right, the Gemara says he was a great tzaddik. If you look in Divrei Hayamim, the psukim there describe exactly what he did wrong. And that's the only thing he did wrong. Yirmiyahu told him not to go out and rebel against Nebuchadnezzar, and he did. That's what he did. Vayasa Rabbeinu Hashem, the last parak in Divrei Hayamim Beis. This is how Sefer Malachim Beis ends. This is how Divrei Hayamim Beis ends. Vayasa Rabbeinu Hashem Elokov. Lo, what did he do bad? Lo nichna milifnei Yirmiyahu anavi mipi Hashem. He didn't, was a nichna. He wouldn't lower himself in front of Yirmiyahu. The Gamba Melech Nebuchadnezzar Marad, Asher Ishbiyo Belokim, Vayakesh as Arpo, he had a stiff neck, Vayametzis Lavavo, Mishuv El Hashem Elokei Yisrael. Right? He rebelled against Nebuchadnezzar when he shouldn't have. The question is, if he was so righteous, so why did he rebel? What exactly was his mistake in the rebellion? So, it could just have been Ashkacha, as he had Bechira, but Hashem did not give him any special, Siyata Deshmaya, as the Pasuk says here in our parak, Yal Af Hashem, Aisab Yerushalayim, Hashem was very angry, Vayimru Tzidkiyo B'melech Bavel, as the parak ends off, that Tzidkiyo rebelled, so it could be part of that issue. But there are other suggestions made. The Mishnah Melech and the Parashas Drachim, there's a lot of drushes about the issues in Melachim and in Shmuel. Maybe the Machlokas was that the Yoshiyahu, right, Yirmiyahu was telling him, go out, and maybe that might even save the Beis HaMikdash, just Bnei Yisrael going into Galus. Yoshio didn't think so. So it's a fascinating suggestion he has. The Gemara in Shavas Daf Peches says, Mikan Modor Rabba Lo Raisa. And we know we have, throughout history, says the Gemara, because we were forced, Kafalei Marka Gigas, to accept the Torah, so to speak. Not going to get to the problem now about how that works with Nasa Venishma. That's Tosfos's question there. But since we were forced, the Gemara says, we have an excuse throughout history. Until, whenever we do something wrong, oh, you forced it upon us, it's not our fault. Until the Gemara says the time of Purim when Hadar Kiblu Abimei HaShveirosh. But maybe, suggests the Parshas Drachim, maybe your Tzidkiyo felt that Hashem's not going to totally wipe out the base of Migdash. Mikan Modor Rabba L'Araisa. But this is before the Purim story. But so we were forced. But Yirmiyahu knew better. Yirmiyahu knew that people weren't being forced to do it. They were doing it willingly, and therefore there was no hope, and you just have to give in and walk. Walk and go to Golas, and that might save the Beis HaMikdash, but obviously that is not what happened. Really, he rebelled against Nebuchadnezzar. There is an interesting story on the last four words of the parak. It says that he rebelled against Nebuchadnezzar. The Gemara Nedarim Daf Samachay says, what was his actual rebellion, besides literally fighting? One time Tzidkiyahu walked in and saw Nebuchadnezzar eating a rabbit. Arnava Chaya, a live rabbit. And Nebuchadnezzar was very embarrassed. Why was he very embarrassed? It's uncouth to eat a live rabbit. Even though the Ben Yoyada says that he used to eat like a piece of a live king of his enemies, used to mamish be a cannibal, but people could understand that because that was just his enemy, but this is an animal, what the animal do? Unbelievable. And the Tzidkiyahu saw, so Nebuchadnezzar made him swear that he would never say it. But as time went on, it was too hard for Tzidkiyahu. He couldn't hold himself back. So he was shoel on his shvua, and Nebuchadnezzar got very upset eventually, and the Gemara even says that he wasn't shoal properly, it wasn't befanav, you're only allowed to be shoal on a shvua, bifnei the person that it has to do with. But anyway, that was also part of the anger that Nebuchadnezzar had to Tzidkiyahu, that he embarrassed him in public, that he's an uncouth individual. But either way, the parak ends off that even Tzidkiyahu, who was so righteous, he is led, and he rebels against the king of Bavel, which sets the stage, obviously, for the last parak here, which Bezer will discuss next time, the destruction of the Beis HaMikdash itself. Okay, we'll have to stop here.